Now we come to the second of our three questions. When we ask whether religion is necessary, what exactly do we mean by necessary? In ordinary parlance, when we say that something is necessary to something else, we mean that it's indispensable, it's absolutely requisite to its existence, that without that thing, that second thing would die, as it were, would pass away, would cease to exist. So far as man is concerned, food is indispensable. If you don't get food, you'll die. I don't know whether you realize how many days you can go without food. Some people think you can go without food for only 2 or 3 days, or 4 or 5 days. But I've known people in India who've gone without food for nearly 2 months. The exact length of time was 56 days. In the case of one of my friends, a Parsi doctor friend, who happens to have been one of the physicians of Mahatma Gandhi, and who managed his second fast in Pune. So this doctor fasted once for 56 days for purposes of spiritual purification. His wife also fasted once for 46 days. She herself told me, by the way, that wasn't for spiritual self-purification. It was because she was angry with her husband. She fasted for 46 days. But apparently, if you do it for a spiritual purpose, you can go 10 days longer. So, you can go quite a long while, but you can't go on indefinitely without food. So food, one might say, is indispensable, is necessary to human life. So, in the same way with sleep. You can go without food quite easily, any one of you, for a week. But you can't go without sleep for more than about 48 to 56 hours without actually breaking down. Sleep is even more necessary in this sense than is food. So these things are called necessary. Food and sleep are called necessary, but we can't do without. Without them, human life, human existence just breaks down. We come to an end, we just die. So can it be said that religion is indispensable in the same way? Is it as necessary as food or sleep? Well, apparently not. Apparently, there are millions of people who get on perfectly well without religion at all. Or, even if they don't get on perfectly well, at least they don't break down and die after a few weeks or after a few days. Especially in the West, especially in Europe and America, lots and lots of people, if not actually the majority, seem to get on perfectly well, or at least fairly well, without religion at all. So it would seem that for them at least, religion isn't necessary. That is, in their case, there's no contact with conventional religion. In other words, with the churches. The vast majority of people, certainly in this country, seem to have no real contact with conventional religion, with any of the churches, whether it's Catholics or Methodists or Baptists or Congregationalists or Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah's Witnesses or all the rest of the catalogue. There are lots of churches, but apparently there are lots of people who don't have contact with any church. And this seems to be one of the most significant features of life in the present century in this country. If you think back to your ancestors at the time of the conquest, or at the time of Magna Carta, or at the time of the Civil Wars, or at the time of Dr. Johnson, or Napoleon, or even Victoria. Your ancestors, in 99.9 cases, or even 99.9 cases, had a close contact with religion in some form or other, some church or other. But now you haven't got that. This is something quite new, something quite novel, something as it were peculiar to this century, that there's no contact with conventional organized religion, no contact with the churches. The vast mass of people are, as it were, secularized and unchurched and de-churched. It's very difficult to re-church them or recharge them in this way. And it would seem that the language of religion, the religion spoken by people in the churches, the traditional language of Christianity, is quite meaningless to modern people. That is, to most of us, to 9 out of 10 of you sitting here. Terms like, for instance, God, or soul, or sin, redemption or atonement or sanctification or justification. Terms which represented burning issues in the past. Otherwise, perhaps your great-great-great-grandfather might have cut your great-great-great-grandmother's throat if she disagreed with him or hadn't been perfectly orthodox. Or perhaps would have divorced her. For heresy. Issues which are represented by these words just leave you cold. They don't mean anything at all to you. Say the word God, no reaction. Soul, what's the soul? It means nothing. Sin, well, most people, certainly most young people, laugh at the idea of sin nowadays, and redemption and the rest don't mean anything at all. It's not so much that people are anti-Christian. That phase has passed. One might say that nowadays we're post-Christian. We're no more anti-God than we're anti-Jupiter or anti-Wotan. They just don't mean enough for us to be even against them. So if we consider them at all, we just as if we dismiss them with a shrug of the shoulders. Well, God is dead. Well, very sorry. He was a good chap while he lived, but he's dead. No use bothering about it. Well, we all ought to die someday, even God. So put another nail in the coffin, put another shovel full of earth on it, just let it go out of sight. Why bother any more about it? So in this way, traditional, conventional religion means nothing to us, or very little to us, to most of us. We have no contact with it, especially in its churchified form.